You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
This podcast is being brought to you by Voyage AC.
You know, there are so few places now where you can go not knowing what you want and then walk away with the perfect thing, like either for yourself or for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm so grateful for Voyage AC. I can either pop right into their store in LA or I can order something online.
It's true. I never know what to get my kids or my ex-wife for the holidays, but Voyage AC always has the perfect gifts.
Yes, they do. I always shop for anyone that's hard to shop for there. Voyage AC has the best presents for everybody in your life. Beautiful scents, elegant shaving creams, incredible candles, luxurious bubble bath, and glorious face and body products. So how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find Voyage AC on our website at theonlyonepod.com, or you can go to www.voyageac.com directly. That's VoyageeTCIE.com.
And guess what?
What?
You want to know?
I do.
Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount to all our listeners right now.
Get out.
That's 15% off everything you buy.
And all you need to do is enter the code HON. That's HON at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do is enter HON when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is the ultimate luxury blend of travel, design, and sense.
Hey, let's make sure we do our Sunday edition Patreon shout-outs.
Yes, we have two really good ones today.
Right on. Who are they, huh?
Okay, so we have Tamika Brown.
That's Tamika with two E's, y'all.
Yes, and she is a graduate student who's doing this really cool survey on whether people feel like advanced education is necessary.
It's part of her graduate program. I think it's called the Capstone Research Project.
Yes, and we'll have a link to it in our show notes if you want to participate.
Right on. Shout-out to Tamika Brown.
Yep, and our second one is she was a guest on our show. It's Storytime Jay.
Storytime Jay, the man.
Or Jason Williams. We love him. And thank you for being our Patreon, Jason. You've always been a big supporter of the show.
Jason does some really cool stuff, huh?
He does some really cool stuff. And, you know, one of the things, it's hard to describe what he does, but he has a children's YouTube channel. And the way he says it is, I decided to rewrite the narratives of stories that we're familiar with as if I were telling the story in a genuine way with some tongue-in-cheek. So,
and we're promoting a special episode with Dr. Clemens this week, yeah.
You'll know him from that really, really important episode of Mr. Rogers.
It's super
show.
Cool.
Really cool. Right. So those are our Patreon shout-outs today.
Shout-out, guys.
Check them out and enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Taylor Carrick, and I'm the only dad making social justice music during the pandemic. I always had different music I wanted to make when all of live music went away for a year. That was the opportunity to do it. We were also so close to these historic things that were happening and very aware of why they were happening and how it happened. And as an artist, what am I trying to say that's not just the pandemic's horrible and I need a break from my kids? It's more about living in a historic time. And one of the interesting things about the album is that it's captured the moment. This is what the moment was like, for better and for worse.
I'm probably one of the few people I know who still looks forward to my Sunday newspaper, not a digital copy that I read on my phone, but the real finger-staining, loud crinkling, section-by-section newspaper. The Sunday paper for me is a treat to be enjoyed while lounging in bed and sipping hot lemon water. So one day when we were going through all of the Only One stories that are being submitted to us, thank you for those, by the way. We love reading them. It was Scott's idea to record and release a few of them occasionally, but always on Sundays, and call them our Sunday edition. And because they're only 30 minutes long, our hope is that you can enjoy them while sipping your morning beverage, going for a walk, or even just enjoying a lazy Sunday at home. Please enjoy today's Sunday edition, and be sure to listen every Tuesday when we drop another brand new episode of The Only One in the Room. So we are talking today to Taylor Carrick. Welcome to the show, Taylor.
Very excited to be here.
So you have your choice of icebreaker questions. Ooh. You can either tell us about your first slow dance or your first car.
Oh, boy. Well, I know for sure my first car was a very old Chevy station wagon.
Oh.
So it must have been probably like from the 70s, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just trickled down the line until I got it. So.
How old were you?
14, maybe? 14?
15. Yeah. You got a car at 14?
Well, you know, car in quotes. I mean, it was...
What color was it?
It was a gross red, terrible, messy black interior.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I can feel it. I can feel it right now.
If that car could talk.
Yeah. You know, my brother and I mostly got it so I could help run him around.
So you guys had some adventures.
Yeah, kind of. It, not the coolest guys, I tell you.
Uh-oh. Well, that's funny. Thank you for that. I am Laura Cathcart-Robbins. This is The Only One in the Room. But I'm never the only one in this room because my producer, co-host, and boyfriend, Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, is here as well.
Hi, honey.
Hey, hun. So, like I said, we're talking to Taylor Carrick.
He's
a
cool.
Right? He's a communications consultant, media theorist, writer, musician, and more, in addition to co-founding the massive annual Zombie Pub Crawl Festival in Minneapolis, St. Paul. He's won multiple awards for his local media work in front's Whiskey Rock and Roll Club, MPLS, one of the loudest and most beloved bands in Minnesota. His newest musical project, Parishes, just dropped its first full-length album, Bring On the ... to positive reviews from fans, critics, and me. I love it. So welcome again. Yes. Thank you for sharing it with us ahead of time. It's so good. It's so good.
I appreciate and that. Thank you.
I was telling Scotty, it's like bluesy, and I hear touches of gospel, and there's that rock and roll edge. It's just really, really good.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I wanted to just quickly shout out Clint Schaff for connecting us. He's such a good connector, and you've heard his episode of The Only One in the Room just a couple weeks ago. But he's always bringing me amazing people, and just shout out to him. Just love him. And I know that you guys have a lot of history.
Too, well, we right sure do.
Yeah. Because you guys grew up together, or you were...
We're both part of an exclusive club, which is folks that grew up in North Dakota.
Right.
Not a lot of them.
No.
But then we met at University of Minnesota over 20 plus years ago. So we've known each other for a long time, and he's lived many, many lives, and I've known him through all of them. So that's cool.
Well, it's so nice to hear that kind of friendship. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Taylor, how do you identify?
I'm a he, him. I identify as a dad. You know, we were talking about this a little earlier. I'm a white dad in Minneapolis. That's how I identify.
Okay, great. So, speaking of Minneapolis and being a dad and being white, you live how far away from George Floyd Square?
Not that far. George Floyd Square is at 38th and Chicago in Minneapolis. And I live off of 38th, closer to the river, just off of Hiawatha. So Minneapolis folks will know that's quite close. So my crosstown route closed up when George Floyd Square was closed. So we are in an interesting spot because it's down that road from that location. And then also we were 8 blocks from the 3rd precinct that got burned down during the protests. So that also was very interesting for our neighborhood. So yeah, Minneapolis is a very interesting place to be these days. And recently in the last week or two, we had another police murder of a black man.
Amir Locke.
Yeah, Amir Locke. And yeah. So it has just fully reignited everything that was happening over the last 2 years. So
wow. I want to talk to you about being a dad, starting with the summer of 2020, and what that was like for you as a dad of 2 young kids in the area where you are. And then I also want to talk to you about being an artist, a musician during that same time and what that produced in you. But let's start with dad.
Yeah.
This is in the middle of the pandemic, right? Or the beginning of the pandemic.
Right.
And how old are your kids? Or how old were they then?
They were 1 and 5.
Ooh, 1 and 5. Little.
So. Little. A lot of work.
A lot of work. The 1-year-old was not going to school. The 5-year-old would have been in school, right?
Yeah.
In kindergarten. So yep. So tell me about that. What was that time like for you and your family?
You know, I think it was a combination of things that were all challenges that sort of built up on each other. I think, you know, having kids in normal times is not easy at all. And then, you know, you take away some of these things that you need to do with kids, which is have them around a variety of people, have them around people their own ages, have them around 8 hours of full body exercise a day. you know, a lot of that wasn't happening. So that was extremely difficult. And then it also was kind of, you know, we have grandparents in the mix, so they want to be around the kids, and we have to discuss, you know, roles and responsibilities around potting and who can do what and who can go where. And parents also need to have that social time for themselves, which is essential, and all that got taken away. It was a challenge. You know, I think a lot about how the difference in parenting today versus, say, any time before 60 years ago.
Yeah.
And how you had large families, everyone can play with each other, and you have your own playgrounds outside. And it was difficult. We tried our best. I think we did a good job, but it definitely was something that we're all going to kind of come out of changed because of it, you know, really appreciating getting to be social and having your kids get to be social, that sort of thing.
You mentioned potting, which is a term that was never used before the pandemic. It was like, what, potty training? No, potting. Like, we need to know we're only going to see each other for the next indefinite time period of time, right?
Yes.
Who did you have in your pod besides you, your wife, and your kids?
Well, it did change. We had one set of grandparents that were involved, and then we eventually later in the year had someone that we brought in as a part-time helper, kind of like a nanny, but it really was just like
relief.
Can I just have 3 hours?
Yeah.
You know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday to just like reply to email.
Right.
Without someone crawling on me. I try not to be over dramatic, but there is a big part of me that recently has sort of decided, we had some really great moments of our kids' little, you know, younger years really taken from us because of the pandemic where, you know, especially my 3.5-year-old, we've been in the pandemic for over 2 years.
Right.
So we haven't done like a lot of birthday parties like we would want to. We haven't done a lot of, like, we can't go to the Sky Zone and jump on the trampolines and meet up with the schools. And I think that's something that people need to, that we're all going to sort of collectively have to kind of figure out, like, especially for families that had to take it seriously and and really worry about older folks and their exposures. So yeah, it was not good.
Yeah. Well, and I think there are just so many people having that same experience and maybe reflecting back, like you just said, on the milestones that you didn't get to hit or mark in the same ways that you would have had the pandemic not been there, and what that looks like. And we quarantine with our kids who are older, Scott and I, with two of our kids, his daughter, my son, my older son, and his younger daughter didn't quarantine with us. And it was that mixed bag. Like, it was very cool to be able to be up close and witness so many things. And at the same time, it was like, gotta get out of here. Somebody needs to leave.
Yeah. I talked to someone who said, you know, my son has never read so many books as during quarantine. And I was like, well, my kids can't read.
Right.
So we have to entertain them all day.
The whole time. Yes. Oh my gosh. Really, I remember that. It's exhausting.
Yeah. There was a big stretch of pandemic where I'd have to take a nap for an hour. You know, it's like we're all taking a nap for an hour because the emotional labor is so high.
Thank you. Yes.
We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered. And we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
The pandemic is happening at the same time that just a few blocks away, a black man was murdered by a police officer who knelt on his neck until he died. The city goes up in flames, right? There are protests in the streets every day, and you are locked in with your kids, basically, right?
Yes.
And so how does the artist in you, the person who strives for social justice or to bring social justice issues out in their work, how do you deal with that?
A bunch of different factors, really. One of the other bands that I play in, Whiskey Rock and Roll Club Minneapolis, we're a very fun rock band. And, you know, we were playing block parties at tap rooms and that sort of like party atmosphere. And that's what a lot of our music is for. And I always had different music I wanted to make. And then when all of live music went away for a year, that was the opportunity to do it. And I had a lot of peers who then use that opportunity, that downtime to do, you know, work remotely with other people and collaborate. Mm. And for me, it was a time where I would have an hour here or an hour there to try and make some different music. And the musical direction I went in, because of the times and because of just kind of how I was feeling, ended up being quite dark. A lot of people who hear the album feel that vibe come out in the music. But at the same time, we were also so close to these historic things that were happening and very aware of why they were happening and how it happened. And it's not the first time. And we already are in another cycle of civil unrest because of police and state violence. And when that happened, it also was like, as an artist, what am I trying to say that's not just the pandemic's horrible and I need a break from my kids? Mm. You know, it's more about living in a historic time. And having little kids was really difficult at that time. You know, we had several peers pack up and leave the city. You know, they weren't sure if things got too crazy, if it was safe for families in our neighborhood. We had people from out of town coming and terrorizing the neighborhood. We had people protesting police violence. And some of that transformed into burning the police station and other storefronts right in our neighborhood. So, you know, having little kids and having to talk through it with them, and why am I hearing the name George Floyd so much, and how come it smells like smoke in our neighborhood for so many days, and those types of things was a challenge. And that also, it really fed into a lot of, okay, here's what my perspective is, and can I relate that through some of the music I'm making, and can I do it in a credible way? You know, one of the things that I think was definitely a challenge in making music that has somewhat of a political element to some of the songs is doing it in a way that's accurately reflecting kind of who I am and where I'm at, and that sort of challenge too. So in a lot of ways, that made it a richer album because, you know, as our friend Clint mentioned, it's like, I'm not making cool guy rap music. I'm like, yeah. that's not who I am as a musician or, you know, yeah. a parent or someone living in the city at that time.
Just out of curiosity, what was your answer to your kid? I'm assuming it was your 5, 6, now 7-year-old, right?
Yeah.
Asking about George Floyd and then why is there smoke? This is your son?
Yeah. Well, it was several different answers, you know, that you kind of go back to and repeat. And we really let him kind of drive those conversations. As a family, we're very aware of things like propaganda. And, you know, it's like you read kids' books and it's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? You can be a firefighter or you can be a police officer. And if you're in trouble, go find a police officer. And we used a lot of that as a springboard for discussing the fact that George Floyd was murdered by police. Police can be very helpful sometimes, but they also have ways of treating people differently. And here's how that can look and here's how that can sound. And he picked up on a lot of it. The images we were seeing at that time reinforced really a lot of what we were saying. I mean, we had the National Guard took over the city for a week.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was very easy to go, the police made a mistake. They did something they definitely shouldn't have done. They keep doing it and it's a problem. And now we all have to live with this. And do you think that's right? Do you think they should treat people differently? He was on board. He definitely got it. And I think that's in some ways actually an easier conversation to have when you're in the middle of it than, like, you know, we'll talk to friends and family throughout the country who would have a harder time with that kind of conversation, I think.
That was my next question to you. How is what you're messaging in your music, how is it received? Are people surprised? A white guy with a white family in Minneapolis, which I know is really diverse, but it's in Minnesota, which is not. Are people surprised by your stance and by push for social justice in your life and through your music?
Well, I think the people that know me definitely are not. They definitely expect that kind of thing. I do think our friends, our peers here like to say that Minnesota is wildly racist and that surprises people sometimes. but I worked on an abolitionist campaign for mayor. And so, you know, so folks who know me, they're not surprised by the political nature. To be very honest about it, and I hope this is encourages people to actually listen to the record and not the other way around, but, you know, I think people are really surprised at how well the record turned out musically. So I think, you know, they were expecting it to be kind of loud and even a little dark, but I think the political thing they knew for sure.
Yeah, so that wasn't unexpected.
No, not really.
Tell me about the work that you did with the abolitionist mayoral candidate.
Sheila Najad is a community organizer here in Minneapolis. I hope she becomes a national known person for her work. She was profiled in Teen Vogue when she ran. She actually won the most votes at the endorsing process for the Democratic Party here in Minneapolis. And so just really being able to help that campaign clarify kind of their messaging around what they're trying to do, how they're trying to do it. And we had a watershed moment here in the city where people who never in a million years would have thought police does not equal safety were kind of like going, maybe police doesn't equal safety, and maybe our police department's broken, and maybe we need to look at people with other ideas. So we had a sort of infamous amendment to our city charter that went up for vote to replace the police department with a public safety department, similar to 95% of the ways cities in Minnesota are already structured. And we had millions of dollars in PAC money come in to stop that. But, you know, like 45% of people were like, yeah, let's do that. So wow. That's a big deal here. So
that's a huge deal anywhere.
Anywhere.
It really is. So, yeah.
That conversation, I mentioned this off mic too, which is I did this record a year ago and then it all came back 2 weeks ago when Amir Locke was killed again by police. Again, there was no real good response to it. It was by people who had spotty records that should never have been police. And one of the interesting things about the album is that it has become sort of like it's captured the moment. This is kind of what the moment was like. Yeah. For better and for worse.
Thank you so much for that. And I know we have to get you out of here because you said the dad train needs to leave to go pick up the kiddos.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to say this really quickly. Prince and Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and Bob Dylan and Lizzo and Morris Day and The Time and Soul Asylum and Taylor Carrick, all from making music from Minneapolis, which is just incredible. This is a solo pandemic project, which I didn't understand what that meant. Do you play everything?
Everything except the harmonica, yeah.
Wow. So you recorded this all separate tracks and then put it together?
I sure did.
Amazing.
I did have some studio help to spice it up a little bit. And then I got to work with some really cool people like Dean Brewington needs a shout out and Ben Miller needs a shout out and Liz Draper needs a shout out. So yeah, they helped me where I needed it. But yeah, I play almost all of it.
It's amazing. So the project is called Parishes. Where can people find it? How can they buy it? How can they get it?
We're on all the streaming services. I encourage people to check out the videos on YouTube.
Yes, or if they're great.
Yeah, we did some cinematics for them, and then you can also check it out on Bandcamp.
Excellent. Taylor, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
Yeah, this is a great conversation. Obviously, it could have been longer, but we will leave it right there because I think what you said is so important. There were so many important pieces to this conversation that people need to hear. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Taylor. Hey, that was a really good episode, but let's not forget about our Patreon shout-outs.
Oh, no. We have a really good one this week. You ready?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, so if you have a love-hate relationship with The Bachelor...
Oh, hate.
Right?
Nope. No.
Then the podcast Rose Pricks is for you.
It's actually the only way I'm finding out my information about The Bachelor.
Right? Who is Clayton Eckhart, which I only know from listening to Rose Pricks.
Mm-hmm.
On Rose Pricks, fellow comedians Angel Akita Moore and Stephanie Wilder Taylor.
Stephanie, shout out.
We love Stephanie. They dissect the drama, plus have really important discussions on race, mental health, and feminism. But most of all, they keep it real. Real funny, that is.
They do. They keep it real funny.
There are new episodes. They drop every Monday night or Tuesday morning if they're too tired. And you can find them anywhere you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. The Only One in the Room is produced by the creative genius that is Scott Slaughter and edited by the uber-talented polymath Christina Barcy and her team at Avon House Productions. Hey, you're still listening? Good. Please subscribe right now while you're thinking about it, quick, before you forget. And be sure to like and leave us a review of the show. Want to connect with some other Only One listeners? Be sure to join our private Only One in the Room Facebook group or check out Patreon on our website for exclusive content that you won't find anywhere else. And do you have an Only One in the Room story that you'd like to share? Please send it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.